Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
One, two, three, listen.
Welcome to the Shoot the Shiitake Show with me, Father Leo Padalinghug. I'm a Catholic priest on a mission to bring people of all different backgrounds together to learn, to love, and accept one another, even if we disagree. We got to be willing to listen to each other as God does with us and as God expects us to do with each other. And this show isn't about getting into the deep and technical things of our Catholic faith, but rather making it real and practical in our life simply by listening to each other. And this week, I have the pleasure of listening to Zuby in a continued conversation where we're going to talk about race, racism, and how to build a culture of togetherness. You see, Zuby's an international and independent rapper, podcast host, author, speaker, and creative entrepreneur with over hundreds and thousands of followers online. And he's got a lot to say, and it really leaves a person inspired. And so I hope you enjoy this deep dish discussion. And if you want to support our efforts to bring conversion, that means turning towards each other one conversation at a time, just visit the website platinggrace.com. and click on the Academy, where you can become a member and support us by joining one of our tiered membership. And once an Academy member, you'll become part of a unique online community, and you'll also gain access to pretty awesome premium content and a few cool perks. But for now, I want you to enjoy the show with my special guest, Zuby, as I shoot the shiitake and jump into a deep dish discussion. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. My special guest is Zuby. In a previous episode, you heard his background, and he has a huge, diverse background. But today, I want to talk with you, Zuby, about just the world and the kind of world that we're living in right now, because I think many of us have lived on an island. What we know is only what we know. Mm-hmm. You've had an international background, having studied with an American school in Saudi Arabia, and then of course in England. But then you also have some understanding of America just by social media, and you've traveled there and you've explored it. How would you describe the state of affairs in our world? Like, how are you seeing it as a young man, as an entrepreneur, as a creator, as an artist? What are some of the thoughts that come to your mind?
Wow. That's a big question.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, firstly, I think it's important to always have perspective and gratitude. And I think it's very important to recognize, before any types of criticism or complaints, I think it's super important for people to always remember that, look, if you're in 2020 and you're in the UK or Western Europe or the USA or Canada, et cetera, you are literally one of the most privileged people to ever have walked this earth, not just existing now, historically, geographically, by any sort of measurable measure, we are blessed. Like, we are very, very fortunate in many ways, and I think it's super important to understand that. The first thing I would say, having said that, is I don't think most people in the West appreciate that. Like, when I see what people are doing and saying, etc., I don't think people really grasp just how fortunate we are. And, you know, I think it's human nature to want to complain, and we all know that we always have things we can complain about, whether it's personally or it's about other people or it's about the country or the government or culture or society. There are always things to complain about, but you can always reframe that and just think of from more of a point of gratitude. So I think that a lot of the problems we do have stem from a lack of that. I think if people had more gratitude.
So I'm going to ask you a practical question for people listening. Then how do you have a grateful attitude when things just seem to be going to, you know, where in a handbasket?
Yeah, it's a matter of reframing. I call it sort of zooming out. So
Are you branding as zooming out or something?
No. No, I mean, look, if you think of the times when you're focused on all the negative stuff, you're normally thinking very sort of inwardly, right? You're just thinking it. This is bugging me. You might even be on social media and this thing is, right? But even if you just step outside, right? You just step outside in the sun and you're like, oh, actually, the world isn't crazy. Right? I have these moments. I get all kinds of crazy stuff I'm dealing with on social media. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the world is crazy. People are nuts. What's going on? I go outside. I walk to the park. I see families. I see people playing sports. I see people just like chilling, hanging out.
Yeah, you smell the roses.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, okay, stuff is all right. So I call that, just like taking a step back and thinking in the grander scheme of thing and thinking outside of yourself and thinking of how much worse things could be helps.
Where did you learn that? Where did you learn that?
Man, that's a good question. That's a good question.
Because I'll tell you what, you learn obviously from things that you've experienced, but it also had to be taught to you. Like math doesn't come natural. It has to be taught to you. You can be logical, but what I want to do is try to capture that and disseminate that information, because, you know, as we're speaking, cities are burning and this is all they see. They don't even have roses in these neighborhoods to smell or parks to play in. So I'm trying to get a grasp on how did you get this privileged attitude? And I'm not saying privileged is a higher class. Mm. It's a blessing.
Yes.
It's a gift.
I think some of it has just come from my background and an understanding of, you know, growing up in different countries certainly helps, because if someone wants to say, I live in the UK, okay? And there are a lot of people in the UK who think that the UK is terrible. There's people who live in the USA who are, you know, down with America. America is terrible. It's evil, oppressive, racist, sexist, homophobic. It's all these things, right? And I'm like, compared to what? Right? That's my question. I'm just like, where have you been? Where have you been that you think America in 2020 is some evil, oppressive hellhole, right? Where else in the world have you traveled to?
Yeah.
Because there are lots of other places which are so much worse. So I have seen, you know, like I've been in Nigeria many times and I have seen legitimate poverty, right? I'm grateful that I've never personally experienced it. But I can see, you know, if I weren't so fortunate, that could be me, right? Yeah. I can see a little kid on the street who, you know, resembles me in a way. And I'm like, man, like he hasn't done anything to sort of be in that position. I haven't done anything to be born in the position that I was in. And this is real. This is the reality for billions of people. And when you see that, it makes it a lot harder to complain about the fact that your Wi-Fi is a little bit slow.
You touched a nerve in me with that.
You know, and
I got to get to confession. Zuby's making me feel guilty. Here we go. Listen, you brought up racism, and I would like to ask you, how would you like to be called? Because I've done many interviews with people of different ethnicities, and they all have different ways they want to be described as. So I want to kind of legitimately make sure that I'm not going to enter into an okay dude moment. And if anyone doesn't know what that reference is, just make sure you tag on to okay dude with Zuby. You'll find the whole backstory. How do you want to be referred to as?
In what sense?
As just you, as a person. It's like
Zuby.
Like Zuby, but I mean like an African British, or because you're not African American, black, colored person. These are unfortunate buzzwords that have turned into something.
Black is fine.
Okay.
British okay, is fine. Nigerian is fine. Like, you know, it depends on what someone's trying to describe. If they specifically want to talk about my skin color, then black is fine. There's nothing
okay.
wrong with that.
This is awesome to hear because it has become a very political thing. Mm. And so I want to just get your thoughts on how you stay positive in the race wars. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, firstly, I wouldn't be involved in them at all if it weren't for other people. Like, I don't care about race, right? Other people care about it.
Do the you only really, reason,
the, huh?
You really say, I don't care about race. I mean, you no. do see that people are different. Like,
yes,
I'm
of
not
course. I have eyes. I have yeah. eyes. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm talking to Father Leo.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not in this conversation thinking like that's, I'm talking to you as an individual. I'm not thinking, okay, I'm talking to someone of this background and this and that. And so I need to sort of change my wording or change my, I'm just talking to you. And that's
how do you get there then? Because unfortunately, we are living in a world where people are judging not by character, mm-hmm. but by color.
Yes.
On both sides of the issue.
And that's been a regression, because if I think back to the early 2000s or the 90s, I think it was actually better. I don't know if that was, I don't know what the factors were. It seems like we were pretty much there. And then some people kind of wanted to thought, no, we don't want this color blindness thing. We want to racialize everything again. So I think we've actually taken a big step backwards in the past decade in the West on that regard. Look, where it comes from for me, mm-hmm. it's been like that to start with. Like I said, I grew up in Saudi Arabia. From the time I was in preschool, kindergarten, I was surrounded by people of
internationals, yeah.
international background, international school. There were Arab children there, multiple different Arab countries. You had Muslims, you had
tons
Christians,
of Filipinos.
You had you had Filipinos, you had black, white, eight.
Yep.
And from the beginning, from the age of three, we were just all together and no one made a big deal about it. So
how do
we
get to this point then? Because we are, a lot of people are living in an island,
yes.
and neighborhoods are segregated. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, by color, mm-hmm. but I would say more by culture, yeah. more than anything else. Because look, you know, they would say that rap is for black people. That is certainly not true. But it's
not
a
anymore.
Culture that people want to be a part of, sure. not a person's color. So, yeah. what do you think are some ways that we can build this bridge, mend some of these divides, mm-hmm. stop judging people by color?
Yeah.
What would be some of the things that you have experienced as helps to you that mm-hmm. you can share with others?
Yeah, in a weird way, and I'm not saying this to, you know, directing this at you, but
please
stop talking about it. You know what I mean? Like stop.
Well, thank worrying. You. The interview is now over.
No, but like really, as in, like once things become. I call it like racialization. So it's not like
okay.
There's a big difference between racism and racialization. So what we've been going through is, so we live in the USA and the UK by any sort of thing you can measure are two of the least racist countries in the world.
Correct.
At the most racist time period in the world.
Correct.
Right. This does not mean racism does not exist, but it is rare and it is not tolerated, right? The average person is not cool with people just being casually racist. If you go down the street and you start being racist towards people, people are going to pull you up on it, right? It's not accepted. Like, if you went back 100 years ago, would have been accepted in many cases, right? People would have been fine with it. But it's like, no, that's not where we are.
So besides my show and mm-hmm. just this one segment, who else is talking about it that is promoting this racialism?
Oh my gosh, almost most people. Like, exactly. No, it's, in fact, it's not most people. But a lot of people who have big platforms, and it's a lot of it starts in academia, in colleges and universities. They're now making people do certain courses, which racialize everything. Like when I was in university, we didn't have any classes or lectures, which were talking about racial theory and talking about whiteness and blackness and all this divisive stuff. Right. But people now have that. People go to liberal arts colleges in the UK or America and they are made to be hyper race conscious, right?
Interesting.
So very, right, they are. So now they're now viewing the world as a white, you know, white people and black people and white men and black men. And then they add the, you know, they've just got all these labels and things, and it puts people in all these different groups, Whereas if you don't think about it, like if it's not in the conversation so much, people naturally just gel. I mean, go out in any large city, in any Western country, you will just see, go to New York City, go to Los Angeles, go to London. You're just seeing everybody just mixing and getting on and on public transport, and people aren't fighting and people aren't obsessing. Like people are just getting on with it. You know?
So
yeah, go ahead.
Let's switch it then. I won't talk about the divisions coming from color. Yeah. I want to talk about the divisions coming from culture then, because there are clashes in culture, and it's not necessarily an ethnic culture, because I think you're right. America and the country of England are incredibly welcoming to other cultures. I mean, my goodness, the joke in the culinary world is that England's number one, you know, primary cuisine is curry.
And it's true.
It's true. I mean, it's like, you can only do so much with boiled potatoes and salt and pepper. You got to add a little curry to it. But then what do you think about the culture clashes in the culture world? Because I actually agree with you 100%. There is a hypersensitivity to things we can't control, namely the color of our skin, unless you're tanning or bleaching. But that's your issue, not the world's issue. Mm. But there's a cultural divide. I'd like to hear just your thoughts on why cultures are clashing so much.
Do you think that they are?
I do. Okay. I do.
And can you give me an example, just so I'm clear?
So I'm thinking just rich versus poor. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking ethnicities of different religious backgrounds that also bring their own cultures, and they aren't able to kind of come together and live peacefully in certain countries. Again, in America and England, we're incredibly welcoming. Yeah. But there are these microcosms that have created this tension of different cultures. Okay. And I'm glad that you actually challenged me on that, because most people would not have thought about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, you know, if I'm existing in the real world, it's not something I really, I see
that,
or experience
that you
a lot.
See. Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, this is not a new thing. This is goes back for all of human history. I mean, human beings are tribal inherently, right? And these tribalisms can be based on any number of things. This could be based on skin color, ethnicity, nationality, religion, sports team, like favorite food. Like it could be literally people can become tribal over anything. This has been pretty well studied. I mean, look at sports, right? If you want an example of a normally not dangerous tribalism, right? Just look at sports. Look at people who use Apple versus people who use Android. Like people will divide themselves and argue and whatever over whatever nonsense it is. So this is something that's just inherent in humans. And you know that it's not a racial issue. This is something people miss. People think stuff is a racial issue, but if you go to, again, I said, I'm from Nigeria. So in Nigeria really is sort of supposed to be multiple countries, right? You have multiple ethnic groups with totally different languages, right? And there can be more conflict between different Nigerian tribes and different Nigerian ethnicities than there is between inverted commas, white and black, et cetera, right? Look at the, look at Rwanda.
Correct.
Right. Look at the Rwandan genocide. These are people who, to an outsider, look the same as each other. Right. Look at just any country. You can see this. You had if you look at Ireland, right. Look at Northern Ireland, where the Catholics and the Protestants. These are both Christians. Right. This is not even like two different, totally different religions. This is Christians bombing each other.
So
and it's just like you
called it. It is a very it's a multidimensional problem. And when people try to use one solution and say it's racism, it's not helping. It's actually causing more of a problem. And I'm just kind of elucidating some of this information. But I do want to ask you also then, what do you think are some solutions that are practical that say you, your community, you, yourself, you, your friends, what can you do to help bridge this divide?
Man. Go back to the basic stories that you learned in kindergarten. You know,
dude, way too old to remember that. So how dare you? How dare
you? You know, love your neighbor as yourself. Treat people kindly. Be fair. Don't judge people based on things that they can't change. Mm. Don't just, you know, very, very, very basic things. Don't blame people for things they didn't do. Mm-hmm. Right? Just very basic things. Treat people as individuals rather than as group stereotypes. I mean, that is what, you know, racism and sexism and all these other types of bigotry, that's what they are, right? Just prejudging people, saying, oh, okay, this is someone who looks like that, so therefore I know all these things about them. And it's like, you know, 9 times out of 10, you'll be wrong. So most people, and like I said,
but how about for those people who didn't learn those basics? Because I can tell you now that there are a lot of people. Look, I live in a mixed income neighborhood. I can look right across the street and I can see the kind of education and formation that are inflicted on very innocent children. And they're growing up with a real low self-esteem, being called the N-word by people. How do we do that? I mean, because I would be crucified if I walked up to my neighbor, the parents, and say, sir, you probably shouldn't call your 3-year-old child that word.
Good grief.
You know, like I would literally. So what can I do? What can I do?
Man.
Or what can we as people do? What are just some ideas? And I'm asking a young person who is creative. Mm. So don't screw this answer up, man. Our people want to hear the truth.
Man, that's a hard question.
It's one that we need to ask.
It is.
Think about.
It is. You know, I'm a big believer in personal responsibility and personal accountability. And I can only control, the only person whose actions I can control within some degree are myself.
Sure.
So I can make recommendations. I can advise people. I can suggest what I think people should do or how I think someone should raise their child. I don't think anyone should be calling their child, you know, racial slurs or anything. Oh. That's pretty crazy to me. But yeah, I mean,
well, I know I put firstly, you on the spot, but
yeah,
I'm
no, I think it's good. Firstly, here's a big problem that we're having in the West, in the modern West, is that there's been just a huge erosion of standards, right? It's like nobody is supposed to have standards and nothing is supposed to be, no one should be ever judgmental and everything should be tolerated, etc. And within some degree, you know, within some degree in a liberal society, that is needed for people to get on with each other, as we were saying, etc. But we do need to be able to distinguish good from bad and right from wrong. And if we totally tolerate everything and we never judge anything and we never shame anything and we never say that anything is bad or anything is good, then we just end up in a mess. And, you know, children have no direction and young people have no direction and they go on rudderless into the future. And they become adults who have no direction and no values and no principles and nothing that they can pass on to the next generation. So some of that stuff needs to be, you know, maybe you could call it cultural conservatism. Like some of that stuff needs to be preserved. The things we've learned over the past centuries and millennia, which we know are good and we know that they work, those need to be maintained. And
you're starting to sound like a philosopher fighting against the tyranny of relativism,
which
I think is great. Listen, I love this conversation. I certainly hope that we'll be able to connect again, talk some deep stuff, and more importantly, build these bridges, because a lot of people don't see it. Now, in the previous episode, I asked you, what can I do for you? And you kind of were stumped by that, and I appreciate it. I will pray for you. In fact, I'll offer mass for your intentions for you and your family.
Thank you.
But now I'm just going to kind of flip it around. What do you think you can do for me? What do you think you can do to help me be a good priest?
Well,
I don't want to be a bad one.
I think dialogue is great. You know, I think what we've just done here is important. You know, I do think these podcasts and interviews and conversations and putting them out there to the world, I think that's extremely important, you know, because it's hard to do all your thinking by yourself. You need to articulate your thoughts and talk to other people, and you get new ideas and, you know, ideas get challenged. And every time I have a conversation like this with anyone, I learn things. And so I think that's valuable. I mean, if you wanted to come on my podcast, Real Talk with Zuby, I'd be very happy to have you on there, and you can get your message out to my audience. So, you know,
victory.
Cool.
Maybe I'll even get a follow. I'm kidding. I'm so kidding. So listen, I want to come back. I want to, first of all, thank you, Zuby, for taking the time and getting kind of real, kind of deep, and really calling it for what it is. Mm. Your experience is invaluable and it's edifying. So when I come back, I'm going to share with you my carryout order. What did I learn from this conversation? And I'll just tell you one thing, Twitter is not for twits. You know what I mean? That's one really important thing. And if you are a twit and you're on Twitter, just jump off and just post food pictures on Instagram, okay? We'll just deal with it that way. But listen, we'll be back in just a moment. A special thank you to Zuby. I'll be back with my carryout order.
And welcome back to my carryout order. As I was shooting the shiitake with Zuby, I want to thank him for being a special guest. And it was a privilege to really chat with someone, again, very different, but not really. I mean, what I would say is that although our experiences are different, it brings us to what I would call a connection to the universal truths, Because oftentimes there is a lot of subjectivism, which is really a byproduct of the tyranny of relativism. And relativism is you could do whatever you want and no one even is going to care and no one can judge you. They might care, but they can't judge you and they can't stop you. And if you heard in my carryout order, I was hearing a lot of Christian principles or maybe even just theological truths. You see, religions are different. But if it's a true religion, doesn't mean it's got the fullness of truth, but it has aspects of the truth. And that's what makes it at least a legitimate religion. Then it's going to come to some points of connection, like loving your neighbor, treating others as you want to be treated. You know, and Jesus will even go a step further and say, no, don't treat others the way you want to be treated, because honestly, some people love to self-victimize. Some people like to give self-abuse, diminish themselves emotionally and spiritually. So no more of that. I want you to treat one another and love one another the way I love you. And how does Jesus love us? By sacrificing for us. And clearly, he's had a lot of anchors in his life, whether it be his education and certainly his family, but also his religion. I didn't get into the specifics because frankly, at this point, I kind of don't care. I would assume that he is familiar with Catholicism because in Nigeria, there is a very strong Catholic population there. But there's also Protestants and he might be one of them. And of course, living in England, a very Protestant country, but they still have some good things to offer on the basic level. And that's kind of key. He kind of reduced the conversation of racism to the basic level. If you don't recognize that people are of different color, then you're blind. But if you judge people by their color, then you're not treating them with the dignity that they deserve because they're a human person. And this has been a teaching of the Catholic Church, and it takes sometimes a rap artist and creative entrepreneur to remind me as a priest to get back to the basics. Now, granted, I will say that I'm practicing all of the basics in my faith, but they are technical things. And we got to realize that when people simply want to blame all of the world's problems on racism, as we oftentimes see on those, and he said it, people with larger platforms, and maybe that's just a more euphemistic and more polite way of saying the mainstream media, they have a platform, they're pushing a narrative, and that narrative is racism. And he mentioned, Zuby mentioned that just even a couple decades back, racism wasn't a thing. Now, we got it. There was certainly some racial tensions, especially in America and certainly in England. But guess what? It just became enculturated in a togetherness. And only in academia, much later on, do we start kind of upholding race as a reason to get angry. And it's something you can't even control. I mean, again, you could either tan or you can bleach. But in reality, we're going to be born the way we are. And if you don't see dignity in that, then you're going to make judgments and dignity on each other. I was grateful for him to recognize that even in Rwanda, the two competing tribes from the outside, they all looked the same. But there was something different that literally made them want to kill each other. Well, one imposed death on the other group. Very sad to know that in, you know, Ireland, the North and South, seriously, and I'm glad that he called it out. They're all Christians. They all believe in the same Jesus. Or do they? You know, that's a theological debate. But maybe it's those details that certainly the devil is in, but God is in as well. And I think that we're just not smart enough, to be honest with you, to understand and integrate those details. So why don't we just, at least for the most part, stick to the basics. Treat each other with the respect that they deserve as God's child, the respect that we deserve that God has given to us as his child, and more importantly, treat each other as part of the human family. And I think racism doesn't get talked about as much. And we start talking about the things that really do separate us, which is a cultural difference. That doesn't mean, though, that our cultural differences should make us hate each other. No. It just means that we can expand our culture and our understanding. Case in point, I learned a lot about what it means to be Filipino by going to the Philippines and also by living in America. I learned a lot about being an American by living in another country. I think that we are living in a very island-enclosed mentality, and it's not helping any of us. So one of the things we've got to do is give people opportunities to be pilgrims in other parts of the world and see that while there are differences, they can be celebrated if we know what keeps us all together. I certainly do hope that I'll have a chance to jump on his show and interview with him. And I certainly hope that we will stay in touch. This is kind of off the record, so to speak, but we even closed our conversation with a prayer. He actually said a prayer for me, and I'm ever grateful to it. I don't know Zuby, and so I don't want to make it more than it is, but he's one of these people that I would say, if I actually spent more time with him, he would probably be a really good friend, someone that I, as a priest, can learn from to be a better priest, simply because he's a good person. Didn't say he was perfect, but he's a good person striving for those good ideals. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. And if you want to support our efforts to bring about more conversion, which means turning towards each other one conversation at a time, just go to theplatinggrace.com, click on Academy, become one of the tiered members, and that not only supports us, it also gives you access to premium content and some really cool perks. So for now, I want to thank you for listening. Thank my special guest, Zuby. And between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.